Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the weekend edition of the KE Report, the final weekend edition of 2023. This weekend, we had a number of calls move around on us. So in the first couple segments here, we are replaying a couple interviews from earlier on in the week. More interviews that look big picture, comparing the end of this year to prior years, and a bit more of a focus in the resource sector. In the final two segments of this first hour, we chat with Joe Mazumdar, diving a bit more into this whole concept of miners providing leverage to the underlying precious metals price. We're starting off with commentary from Jordan Roybern. This was posted on Wednesday. We hope you all enjoy. Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Corey and Chad here chatting with Jordan Roybern, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. Now Jordan, we're going to stick to some of the charts when it comes to the gold stocks, because look, you go back Q4 when it started, the stocks largely bottomed, the metal largely bottomed, and we have seen a nice, almost in a way, stair-stepping pattern higher. I do want to start, though, by comparing this time of the year to last year at this time, where gold got completely washed out last year going into the fourth quarter and the gold stocks were following gold lower. And then we saw a very nice rebound in Q4 the whole way through the first month of 2023, and then a bit of a drop for about a month, and then the banking crisis, and boom, everything went higher again. One thing that I want to outline here is that gold, when we go back to pretty much the start of Q4 last year and this year, it's up about 15% heading into the end of the year. The GDX, it's up similar amounts too. GDX was up about 41% at this time last year from that washed out low. GDX up about 29 to 30% this year up until this time frame. Jordan, can you break down some of the similarities and some of the differences that you think we are seeing within this move, especially when it comes to the gold stocks through Q4 to end this year, please?
Yeah, Corey, I think the one main difference is you had a washout. So it was a really good oversold bounce that began at the end of last year or last September, October. I mean, looking at breadth indicators, for example, you had a clear washout. So there's that. And, you know, this time around is different because the miners have they're moving up from a much stronger base of support. The third thing is, I know we'll get into breadth, but we did get a bit of a breadth buy signal, I want to say towards the end of last November. And we did have additional gains from that point. I know we'll talk more about that, but those are really the main differences. And of course, looking at the gold price now, where the gold is in position for a really significant breakout above 2100, which everyone knows about, obviously, whereas a year ago was an oversold bounce. So you have those things. And then right now the miners are emerging from a much stronger base. Like if you look at the price action over the last 12, 13, 14 months in GDX, GDXJ, it looks like they're emerging from a higher low 2 or 3 weeks ago. And aside from that higher low, if you go just below that, there's just an incredibly strong base of support. So you go back to, I want to say like early November, the miners are emerging from a very, very strong base of support. You know, they moved up to some resistance 4 weeks ago or so. And then they had this pullback, you know, call it December, I don't know, 10th or 11th. And so I think that low is really going to wind up being really, really significant. Like if we look back in a, you know, month or two from now, we're going to say, okay, that, you know, that December 11th point, like that really would have been the best buying opportunity if this all plays out bullishly. So I think those are some of the differences between where we are now versus last year.
Yeah, Jordan, last year people were worried that gold was going to fall out of bed and they weren't really convinced in that snapback rally It ended up being a bear trap, but at the time it was happening, people were still a little unsure. Now we're kind of at the converse side of this, where we're near a breakout in gold, and people are still not sure if that's going to happen, but at least it's on the bullish side. But you did provide a chart that we'll link below this interview on GDX and GDXJ, showing some lateral price support. And to your point, it looks like off of that key support, both GDX and GDXJ have bounced. What do you think it's going to take to really break it out into a sustainable trend? What will you be looking for on the GDX and GDXJ charts?
Well, I mean, there's a couple answers to that. Gold moving above 2100, because that's obviously going to be a significant breakout. Even in the scenario where the stock market is still moving up, which is possible, which will limit the breakout move in gold, you still could get gold to 2300, 2350 in that scenario, maybe even 2400. So that's also going to give the miners some juice. But looking at the breadth indicators, I'm looking at the percentage of GDX or HUI stocks that closed above the 200-day moving average. And I'm looking at that versus and some other indicators. And so there's six similar points in the last 7 years as to where we are now. Three of those were strongly bullish, meaning there was additional gains in the short term. There was one that we'll call it mildly bullish, which was last year, actually, which was triggered at the end of November. And then the two other ones were you had one peak in 2021 and then one peak in 2022. So when looking at where the breadth indicators are right now, they're basically either telling you the market's in a downtrend and this is a sell signal. However, the other side of the equation is this is actually a buy signal, because you know there's enough momentum and sustainability to this move, and the larger move looks to be, you know, the price action looks to be bullish, and therefore there's going to be additional gain. So I'm leaning towards, you know, I'm leaning towards the bullish camp, mainly because there are two reasons for that. You know, again, gold really close to breaking above 2100, and then secondly, which we already went over, the price action now is much more bullish than it was compared to those 2021 and 2022 peaks.
So are there any individual stocks, especially on the miner front, that you are watching simply because, look, the miners, the big guys, have rebounded, arguably the strongest, and we all know that when bigger money comes into the sector, well, that goes into the bigger stocks. We haven't seen the same sort of rebound in the junior, but it can be much more encouraging for the big stocks to move and continue their move higher. Any individual stocks that you're driving down to as a barometer for a continuation of this move?
Honestly, not really. I just focus on, I think, GDX and GDXJ, and then also the silver ETFs. I mean, those contain all the big stocks. And I think generalists and institutional money prefer to buy GDX and GDXJ instead of individual stocks. I mean, in some cases, they'll go into some individual stocks. But I think on the whole, GDX, GDXJ are a better indicator. I mean, I know some people like looking at Newmont and Barrick, but I prefer looking at the ETFs just because you can look at all these other breadth indicators and things like that. But I will say with the juniors, I do think, you know, you have the tax loss selling being over, so that always helps them into January. And then you have the potential here for the larger sector to really move at the start of the year, you know, for all the reasons we've already mentioned, and especially if gold breaks above 2100. So I do think some money will definitely filter down into the juniors in January. Now, as far as how long this can go, you know, how sustainable it is, that will depend on the macro, you know, which we talked about last week, how it's, you know, really people spend too much time on that. But you know, for here and now, I think there's potential for GDX to move up to 40 and GDXJ to move up to 50. Like that's the potential move you could see in the next month or two if this comes to pass and gold breaks 2100 and these signals in the miners aren't going to fail us.
Well, Jordan, I think a lot of people listening would be pretty happy to see breakouts to those levels in the GDX and GDXJ. Let's dive a little bit more into the market breadth comments you made, though. Maybe just share with people that are not technical analysts why you look at breadth, why it's important that the HUI, you know, that a lot of those stocks, the majority of them, are over the 200-day moving average. Why do you look at those moving averages? And what kind of a signal is that? You know, really, you could use it for any market, but just to help people understand why you're encouraged by what you're seeing.
Yeah, well, breadth indicators, they tend to lead price action in both directions. So that's why it's important to, you have to look and analyze the price action and then look at a breadth indicator secondly, because they can confirm what you're thinking or disprove that. When you're in a bull market or a bullish move, for example, typically breadth indicators will show a significant amount of strength early in that move or in the middle of that move. And if that goes along with bullish price action, kind of like what we're seeing right now, that's giving you more evidence that there's going to be a continuation of this move before you get to some kind of a peak. You know, for example, 80% of the Huey stocks have closed above the 200-day moving average. And so I'm looking at the last couple months, you know, that specific data, and I'm kind of looking at the percentage that have closed above the 20-day and the 50-day. I'm looking at all those, and I'm making marks on these charts. That I do the same for GDXJ also. And I'm marking all these charts and look, okay, what were the similar points? And so then we get a sense of, okay, what's possible, you know, based on what has happened and, you know, when these types of levels get triggered in these breadth indicators, you know, what are the potential outcomes? And so it's really clear that we're at a point, the miners are still in a larger downtrend. This is going to be a sell signal. And I think the weight of the evidence favors the other scenario, which is, I mean, this is a, you know, we're in a, you know, I don't want to say a bull market yet because that's a whole nother conversation, but we're in a potential bullish move here for the medium term. So again, based on the, you know, based on the breadth indicators and the price action as well, it's just, it's giving you more evidence that this move is likely to continue and that we're likely to see further upside, you know. And then of course you factor in what are the metals prices doing? Oh, by the way, gold is really close to having this really significant breakout above 2100. So when you're analyzing markets like this and you're looking at all these technical signals, you want them to kind of line up with respect to a potential conclusion. Like when they're all kind of lining up and telling you the same thing, that means you have very strong evidence. So this type of analysis gives you a better sense of, you know, the potential, you know, probabilities and outcomes versus if you're just, oh, let me just pull up this chart. Oh, this looks, that's a head and shoulders, but this is bullish. This is going to do that. Okay, that's the end of my analysis. You know, that's why you have to look at all these things. And, you know, by the way, they don't always give you, you look at a bunch of these different things, you know, price action, patterns, breadth sentiment, they don't always give you a perfect indication of, you know, where the market might be going in the next month or two. It's just sometimes there's points like the present when they all tend to be lining up in favor of potential outcome.
Okay. Jordan, I think that sums it up pretty well. Look, just some more follow through as we move into next year. It has been a very encouraging and strong move higher, especially in the large stocks and also in the underlying metals, gold and silver, but gold especially close to all-time highs. Just need that momentum to continue, and then undoubtedly more stocks will join in. So really just turns into a focus early 2024, and again, that momentum, the upward trend continuing. Jordan, thank you very much for your time and your time throughout this year. I hope you have a very happy new year. We will chat with you throughout 2024. And everyone, be sure to go check out Jordan's website, The Daily Gold. Jordan, happy new year, buddy. Have a good one.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.